welcome to the Escape Podcast for Star Wars The Old Republic. This episode, you'll hear only the best news, and Seema's going to talk about leveling as a healer, and maybe we'll talk about why you shouldn't borrow Treek's hang glider and jump off a cliff. As usual, we have an astromech standing by to record this and get dumped into deep space to broadcast this to you. Are you good, EPC-06? Yeah, a torpedo tube is a perfectly good escape pod exit. Why are you asking? Hi, Seema. How's it going and what have you been up to?
He does not sound convinced, I have to say.
Oh, he'll be just fine. See how happy he is?
Good. I am doing great. It's been a very busy week, a lot going on. First off, we had the finale of our AIE, The Amazing Race, and our Gildy Peters won the 1 million credit prize. And I know we're going to go over that a little bit later, but that was a big thing on Tuesday night last week. Wednesday night in our 16-man, which is, what is that team called again, Max? It's like Battle Team Royale with cheese. Oh.
Is it? Did we switch it to that name officially?
Yeah, I think so.
So that anyway, comes from Mandalorian Raiders or Boarding Party. So one of them, when you're on the imp side, I think it's Boarding Party. Then when the four Jedi come in the middle of that flashpoint, they call themselves Battle Team Royal.
Yeah.
And so we always came up with the Pulp Fiction reference was Battle Team Royale with cheese. Yeah, great. I love that name.
We had a nice run there. We pugged a couple of people, and we still haven't got it quite down how to do that quickly and smoothly. So that took up a little bit of time in the beginning. So we kind of sped through Scum and Villainy story mode, 16-man. But we didn't have time for the last boss.
Yeah, and it's the pugging, it's the organizing the pickup group and getting everybody in that we don't have down, because we have the instance. I mean, story mode, we have the instance down. We only did a little over an hour and we did everything except the last boss.
Yeah, and it's also a little bit to do with the instance itself. Like, we had one guy who was locked and didn't realize it, and then somehow that we ended up with people in different instances of Scum and Villainy, and then we had to like reform and go in again or something. That kind of stuff always takes a long time too.
Yeah.
And then our Taco Harder, which is our group that we formed to try to explore the harder content, hard modes and stuff, we had to cancel on Thursday because we were missing some key people. And since that's sort of our amalgam group, and it's like our extra ops group, so we usually don't stand on our heads to make sure it happens, I guess.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but then that's designed that way. If that doesn't go, that doesn't go, and we're fine with that.
Right, exactly. But it's our regular rate them LOL, which meets on Sunday. We actually are doing hard mode content in that team anyway, so we went into Scum and Villainy hard mode on that group, and we got Dash Rood down, which we have a few times before. We've been doing okay with Dash Rood, but Titan 6 has been our sticking point recently, and we finally got him down. So happy about that. Definitely practiced on him quite a bit and had to do quite a bit of fine tuning, and just like you were talking about last week, Max, just get everybody's rotation very crisp so we can get the most possible everything out of everybody to get that one down.
Yep. Get everybody's gear all tweaked, get everybody's rotations down, because it was DPS that was holding us up.
And then we went and took a look at Thrasher, but played with him for 15 minutes or so. But we'll have to go back later after everyone's had a chance to, watch a few videos and get a little educated on that.
Yeah, and so I can figure out how to get knocked in, up onto the top of the wall. The tanks get knocked up there all the time. And I ran in front of them every time and could not get up there. So if I can get up there, then I'll go kill all the snipers and whatnot.
You clearly have the wrong body type. Maybe you should get the cybernetic armor.
Or be a little girly bounty hunter like Makia.
Yes, exactly.
who's who was discussing this week how he can't find armor that's tanky enough, even though he's got a little girly body type. But yeah.
Yeah. And exactly. Then tonight, with our sup group, I got to run with them again because they needed someone to fill in. So we went there and we went to McCabe and cleaned out Toboro's courtyard for him. And then we worked for about an hour on Scum and Villainy Hard Mode Dash Rude with that group and made some progress and got some exposure to the fight for people. And then we went to Story Mode Terror from Beyond to knock out the weekly. So that was a full night as well.
So you got the Toblerone from the Marriott courtyard?
Yep. But in my, yeah, in my free time. So I've been doing a little farming, and basically what that means for me is that I pick a daily that I know I'm going to be killing lots of droids for, because usually I'm just collecting metals so I can make kits. So I'm kind of trying to be semi-prepared for 2.4 to drop tomorrow by having a few kits to sell. And lastly, I've been sneaking around McKeb on my operative. She is level 55, but I managed to level her without ever completing the quests on McKeb. So she doesn't have access to stage weeklies or anything, but I have this new hobby now, which is really fun. It's just sneaking around, finding slicing nodes and looking for chests and running in and looting the chests and then vanishing out again, which doesn't always work, but hey, it's fun. I know where some chests are because I just run into them doing other stuff. But I was looking for this one chest and I saw an assassin ghost stealthing by me up some stairs. So I just went up after him, and up there was two of those giant chests with about 8 mobs around them. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's a good place to check too. But anyway, that's just fun. Just sneaking around, looting stuff.
You crazy stealthers.
Yeah.
I'll have to get on my assassin and check it out.
And doing a half of a quest here and there, eventually towards getting the planet quest done for her. That's been my week.
So do you get good credits off of doing that? Off of stealth in the chests?
I think you could probably get better credits doing just about anything else. I think if you're really the people who really have it timed precisely and, you know, hit every chest, change instances, hit every other chest, hit change instances, hit every other chest, and then go back to the first instance and, you know, whatever. I think they probably make a crap ton of money, because lots of times I would go and the chest wouldn't be there, right? Because somebody who's better at it than I am is arrived when they spawned. I have no idea what the spawn time on them or is it anything like that. I just check them. If they're not there, I go on to the next thing or do a quest or whatever.
Sure, sure. All right, that makes sense. All right, so this week I've continued to level up my Marauder, who's up to level 32, still Carnage spec'd. That Carnage spec is developing well. By the time you get in your 30s, you're starting to get the types of abilities that round out your rotation. There's some things that you just can't do in the rotation and don't make sense in Carnage until you get to that level. It's also working out well now in PvP. It was still good in the lower level PvP as well, but now I'm in the higher bracket and it's still good. I can still get to the top or near the top of the damage ranking. And having abilities like Force Camouflage is nice. So when the snipers knock me back and root me and I can't leap to them, I can Force Camouflage and use that as a closer. So that's still pretty fun. I only do one or two a day. I've been winning a fair amount, so I've only had to do one just to get that daily done. But it's still fun.
And so then, what is Force Camouflage? What does that actually do?
It's a short stealth. So it's like a 5-second stealth.
Okay.
So you can, it's like a vanish and stealth in the middle of combat. So you can stealth and run around or escape from somewhere, which seems overpowered for a Marauder, but yeah, I always thought it was overpowered when I was fighting against Marauders. But I can see where you're very melee focused. There's not much you can do from ranged. Whereas on my Vanguard, even if I was melee from ranged, I could still, you know, drop an unload or something like that. So you need some sort of ability to close or to get closer.
So when you said closer, you meant like to close the distance between you and your attacker.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Gap closer.
Oh yeah, I was thinking about closer, like a finisher, but yeah, that is, yeah. Your way makes much more sense.
Yeah, no, every damage move on a Marauder is a finisher. So they put out a lot of damage. And I'm not even going for the overpowered sort of smash spec where you just jump in and smash in groups of people and do a lot of damage. But Carnage does a ton of damage, just more focused on single target. And I'm mostly a PvE spec on Carnage, but it does just fine in PvP as well. So I've been doing that. I did, as you said, we had fun in our operations nights, Scum and Villainy, 16-man story mode, hard mode Scum and Villainy, Titan 6 getting blown up. That was fun. And boy, I do need to get on a operations dummy and parse it out, because I feel like my rotation is about as tight as I can get it, and I like it. We did put out a lot of DPS to get him down that last attempt. You always get him down on the last attempt. It's amazing, yeah, how that works.
Funny how that works.
And then the only other thing I've been doing is catching up on some of the other Star Wars podcasts, and I wanted to call out a couple of those, and maybe we'll talk about them on and off. But I do listen to the Unnamed SWTOR podcast. Gaddock Teague is pretty active lately in his podcast. He does a little YouTube video roundup of news, and he's posting a lot on the forums and on Reddit and doing a good job. So
yeah, I love that podcast.
I appreciated that. And then we found this week, because they linked back to our site, the Oceanic Gamer podcast, which is three players from Australia. And those guys just sound like a lot of fun. I wish we could group up with them at some point and have some fun, because they have a good balance. They're all three of them have good input. They're relatively casual. They seem to be at about the same place in content as we are. And it was pretty fun to listen to. And their topics range from more than just Star Wars into a bunch of other things as well, but they're Star Wars focused.
Yeah, I love those guys. They were really funny. And I mean, you gotta love someone who has a segment called, let me see if I get this right. Yeah. Your lore is stuck in my canon.
Yeah. And they had a good droid segment a droid explained some bit of lore. Oh, that was that segment. The lore is stuck in the canon. Yeah.
Their droid is very educated.
Well, yeah, they have a protocol droid, not our, you know, our little astromech droid that, you know, just good for recording. No, I didn't mean anything by that.
You're an awesome droid. You're just fine. I wish we could afford a protocol droid, though.
Yeah, we'll work on that. And then the only other one I was going to call out this week, we can talk about more some other time, but is UtiniCast, who those guys do an excellent job. They're focused on the broad range of SWTOR news, what you would expect from a SWTOR fan podcast. They've been going for quite a while now. They just had their 100th episode, and they've been doing a great job. So I really appreciate those guys doing the work that they do to keep the community educated and up to date and have a fun podcast on top of it.
I do too. I mean, they are like the one-stop shop for information. I always look at their site, listen to their podcast. I'm really glad they're there.
Yep. And with that, I think we will move on to the news.
Now, an Imperial News Network report on the disturbing activities of the Chevin conglomerate.
No, actually, we don't care about the Chevin. No. Instead, we will talk about the AIE Amazing Race. So we had the finale, and I figured just because we had the finale on Tuesday that we would give the quick recap of how it went. We did have our overall winner, Worfen/Peters, won the overall credits. He pulled ahead just at the last moment on the last planet.
Yes, but it was an exciting finish.
Yes. Neck and neck till the end. Although it was just posting pictures in photo bucket of our event that people can see on our Facebook page. But it was a good 5 weeks. So we did it on Tuesday nights. It was a guild only event for now. We were trying to lay it out and get used to it, but it was relatively complete and complex. So each week was a different set of events. And if you've ever watched The Amazing Race, it was designed like that. There was point to point, having to get someplace, and then challenges once you got to those places. So week one was Tatooine. You had to ride the balloon while everyone was on the balloon. There was a trivia contest, And then at the end, they had to get back to Blood Sands. And the roadblock was you had to defeat an officer in a PvP duel 3 times. So that was cool. Week 2 was basically do the whole Magenta Crystal run, which if people haven't done it, starts on Tatooine, where the first leg ended. And you have to collect a buff off of Tatooine that gives you some water, which you take to Hoth and freeze into a crystal, which you take to Ilum and use to summon a force ghost that you kill and get another piece that then Seema had to combine with a bunch of other pieces to actually build everyone a magenta crystal. But it was pretty cool. And we had a little bit of a Tauntaun data run as part of that leg too. In week 3, we did the pub crawl. There was 12 possible items. You had to have at least 8 to finish. And there was an unknown number of points, and it was different for each item depending on its rarity, that people got awarded as they went along for that leg. And that one included a jump in the Sarlacc pit on Tatooine. Week 4 was on Nar Shaddaa. Then we visited the memorial spot from the AIE, our AIE Memorial Day that we do every year for members that are no longer with us, which is a very cool event. We stopped there, and then they had to find an officer at each of the faction houses around Alderaan. And the officers were dressed up in costume, had a companion out and a pet out. And depending on how observant the player was, at the end, they had to explain what the officer was wearing, who the companion was, what the pet was, etc., to get extra points. That worked well. And finally, basically had a party on Voss, where everybody gathered up, got to Voss, goofed off, and got points for taking any screenshots that they had of the 5 weeks, putting them into photo buckets so we could have that around and show them off over time. And that was it. Everybody got prizes. Everyone who attended got prizes on the last day. Top 3 finishers of each leg got prizes every week. And then there were the overall prizes, including the 1,000,000 credits.
Pell even had prizes for us, which I wasn't expecting.
Oh, the officers. Yeah, that was nice. And it was he tuned it to each of us, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And what did you get? What was your prize?
I got a little astromech. I was so happy. It's adorable.
Yeah, yes, you are. Baby, you're adorable. That was cool. Yeah, so that was great. Next news item. We had the Pursuer's Bounty Pack drop this week. Some cool stuff in there. Everybody seems to get a big kick out of these bounty packs. So I approve of BioWare continuing to put them in. I pick up the items cheap on the GTN after the fact, but I know a lot of people that are using either their subscriber cartel coins to buy a bunch of boxes or cash to buy some hyper crates and get a bunch of cool stuff every time they come around. So there's some gear, a scary mask. Boy, that's a little creepy. People have said already. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, the one that Armishet was wearing last night. Yeah. Yeah. It is scary.
There's new armor sets, named armor sets. There's a new cybernetic set without the big handles on the back, the wings.
Oh, shut the front door. No handles on the back, huh?
Yeah, that's amazing. I don't know what those we were speculating what those were supposed to be for or represent, but yeah.
There's
a new elegant dress, and Delphi has done a very good job of being very complete when she's illustrated the new 2 new dress designs, and she's put them not only on a female character, but on the big bald dude.
Yeah, I had to look at that when I saw your notes here. It's just, yeah, what is holding that hat on the bald guy's head?
Yeah, the little barrette or hairpiece or whatever that is, which is then just stuck to the bald guy's head. That's pretty unique looking. So there's that. There's a bunch of weapons.
A glue gun, I'm thinking, you know.
A glue gun? Staple yeah. gun? Yeah.
Staple gun.
Just hold
gun.
Still. weapons. Big giant hand cannon. People think that might look a little goofy. I thought it looked fine. It's very big. And then there's a tiny little blaster pistol. I want a big blaster pistol for my mercenary. Bunch of new speeders, cool looking speeders. One of them's pretty noisy. It sounds like a chainsaw when you start it up. There's a new Vractal mount. It's green instead of sort of the bluish one. I think it's called the Woodland Vractal. There's more chair remotes. There's some other remotes. What was the one we were looking at? The what up emote.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but that's something. We were speculating that's maybe what the BioWare people do to each other in the office when they say what up. I've never seen it before.
They kind of swing their arm around and hop back. I can't even describe it.
It's like a windmill guitar move while you're dancing back and forth and a little New Kids on the Block dance step. Yeah. I don't know. It was awesome. And then a bunch of pets and other stuff. So your usual bounty pack, cool stuff that I think people have fun with. A couple other news items.
I'm looking forward to that stuff hitting the GTN.
Yes, that's where I get my cartel pack items is off the GTN.
I'm especially looking, I think, for in the gear. I like the luxurious dress. There's one called elegant dress and one called luxurious dress, I think. The luxurious one, I kind of like the patterns and stuff that were on the skirt. So I'm going to be watching for that one.
It is a nice texture. It's a nice dress. I think it would look cool on Makia while he's tanking. I just put that out there. And let's see, two other news items. One is, so there's a player named, at least on Reddit, he calls himself SWTOR Miner. And it sounds like the PTS, although the PTS is down, may have put out a patch recently. And he's done more work in taking that apart, doing binary analysis and doing data mining on those patches. I won't go into too much detail, but what he's been looking for last PTS round and this most recent patch is any data he can get his hands on is finding tidbits on the super secret space project. He's found a new round of super secrets and exposed those little sort of spoilers. Nothing is guaranteed, but there's some pretty interesting stuff. I sort of last round was cautioning everyone to not be too optimistic, but this guy's going pretty deep into the details, finding some interesting tidbits, and it's starting to get me more excited. I'm going to keep my expectations in check, but some of the things that they seem to be laying out in terms of what the hangar will do for you and ways you can customize your ships looks cool.
Check that out on Reddit. I'm very interested to see how this all turns out.
It seems much more extensive than I had originally thought that it would be. It is still space, so it's got to be people that like space are the ones that are going to get into this. It is a unique style of gameplay, but extensive space combat with ship customization, unique ships and different ship roles. That sounds like it's going farther than I thought it would.
Yeah, sounds cool.
Finally, there's something going on tomorrow, some sort of patch. I think we'll figure out what that is. Some little things happening next week, and we'll get into it, and we'll talk about it more next week, I'm sure. But we did see the patch notes already today. It will be pretty exciting. We've been looking forward to it for a while. They put the patch up on the servers today accidentally a little bit early, which did cause problems for some people, myself included, and caused you to, if you had patched too soon or had logged in at the wrong time, which was only about a half hour window or half hour, I don't know exactly how long, it caused you to have to download the whole game client if you wanted to get in today, which I did end up having to do. It wasn't too long for me. It was pretty quick. I could see how someone with not much bandwidth might have been quite frustrated by that, but it wasn't that much of an impact for me, so I didn't mind too much. But they messed up a little bit. Everybody's yelling at them. I'm sure they feel bad about it. But it's all in the effort to get us some new content, so I'll cut them a break. Tomorrow, I am excited to see what we get. I know what's coming because I spent time in the PTS and we talked about it. But I think we're going to have some fun.
It's a weird error to have made. I mean, they continue to surprise us in the types of errors. So that's entertaining, I suppose.
I guess. It's something to learn from. So,
yep.
Don't let Jim, the intern, near the production servers when he's practicing for dropping the patch tomorrow morning.
Just nothing to add to the checklist. Is it the patch day? you know, when you're putting the patch in, does it, is it patch day?
Step one.
Check.
Yeah. Step one. Should you be here today? No. flow chart. No. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But I think that wraps up the news. And for this week's segment, we are going to open another Datacron, aren't we?
Deep in the ancient, monster-infested tomb of Marka Ragnos, there is a holocron filled with dark secrets and encased in a great stone monument.
And the dark secrets we decided to go into this week is Seema is going to give us some background on how to level as a healer. Lay it on us.
Well, I have leveled one or 12 healers, basically. And I haven't always leveled them as a healer, but if you do one level your healer as a healer, it's eminently doable in this game. And a lot of people have done it before you. And I really recommend it. It's one of the easy ways that you can actually learn your class and go straight into flashpoints then, because you basically healing yourself and your companion and watching what's going on in a pull really is similar to healing a group. It's just more people. So I want to start off by saying first, you know, a lot of healers go with a tank companion, which you can do, especially if you're Sage, Sorc, Operative, or Scoundrel, because they're all, on all four of those, the first companion is a tank. So a lot of healers start with a tank and you just kind of get used to it and stick with it. But you can level just as well with a DPS companion, and commandos and mercenaries are in that position where the first thing they get is a DPS companion. So you can make that work too and still level as a healer. But nowadays you also have the choice of, you know, getting your treak, which would be a way of getting a tank companion if that's what you wanted. Hello, Treak. Ziki, yeah. That's my favorite thing she says.
Yeah, I know exactly what she's saying there, but you think you know what she's saying. So you made me track that down. And we've been laughing over that all night. That is a good one.
So people complain that they don't like playing, they don't want to level healer. They say it's slow. They say my companion doesn't hold threat. My companion breaks CC, blah, 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 blah. But really, there's ways to deal with all of that. And just like every class, if you're playing a DPS class, you need to learn your rotation, how to do it, how to, you know, what order you kill mobs in. It's just like that. And just like if you're playing with a human tank, you have to watch what's going on. Yes, occasionally you will have to heal your companion. You can't just send your tank in there and it's going to live through everything. It's a tank. You're the healer. You're going to heal your companion. So with all that said, when I'm looking at making a pull and I'm standing with I'm a healer and I have a tank companion, I usually look at the pull and I see there's a strong in 3 weeks or something like that. A strong NPC and 3 weak or standard NPCs. One way I do the pull is I'll send my tank companion at the strong, and while he's running in there, I'll start one of my long casts offensive spells. For me, at the level, you know, at level 55, it's usually one of my dots, and then I'll do the instant dot. And at that point, I just break out with the AOE if I have it, because the tank is going to hold threat after that because I've given him all this time to get ready. So what's happened while I'm prepping that cast is my tank companion's running in. Typically, the first thing they'll do is some kind of AOE threat thing. It wakes up all the other adds. They start beating on him. They are going to ignore you pretty much completely at that point, and then you can just go to town. That's one way of doing it. If you cast your AOE and mobs start peeling off after you, that might be because your companion doesn't have current gear. You really need to make sure that their gear is on a par with yours, maybe even better. But I will also say that I never put defensive stats on my tank companions. I pile as much DPS, their prime stat, power, crit, whatever. I don't really go after.
Oh, really?
What's that?
Oh, really? You don't put any defense or absorb or shield on?
Mm-mm. No.
Because I've got Treak up and I'm using Treak as a tank on my Marauder, and I've started level artificing because I haven't leveled it on any other tune, and I started making, I can make the defensive enhancements, so I started to, but if that's not necessary, I'll just skip it.
No, I just put power enhancements on my tank companions. The way I look at it is, since I've leveled up also with DPS companions, which works just as well, the main thing you're after from your tank is the whole threat and to kill as much as they can. As long as you heal them every once in a while, they're really not going to die.
So, true. Plus you're also a healer, which my Marauder is not a healer. So I guess.
That's true. If you're not a healer, it might be different.
But Treak is so overpowered. I'm not having problems with the survivability of Treak. Yeah. There goes Treak.
So that's
okay,
one
that
way.
That makes sense, though.
That's one way of doing your pull so that your companion is going to keep threat and you're going to kill all the mobs. In earlier levels, you may not have that AOE. So basically what you want to do in that case is you want to make sure that your companion and you are going to always be on the same target. That's another way that the companion is going to maintain threat. And also it's going to end up killing all the mobs quicker. So what I do for that is I send the mob in. It doesn't have to be at the strong. It could be any. Sometimes you want to kill the weaks first anyway, because they go down faster. You send the companion in after whatever mob. He's going to lay down his AOE, threat building, whatever. And then you take his target and you kill that. And when he switches targets, you follow him and you start killing that target. Because if at that point you start to kill some other target, your companion is not going to be able to keep threat on that other target, and that target is going to come for you. So
that makes so much sense. This is exactly how you need to play in flashpoints and operations. You're basically focus target of the tank. This is all just stuff that you need to learn to do anyway. This probably makes healers, people leveling as healing, much more equipped to jump into flashpoints, even if they've never played before.
And even just thinking about threat and what's happening out in front of you, rather than just focusing on the health bars, makes you a better healer too.
Makes a lot of sense.
So one thing you do want to open up on your UI is you want to have target of target on. And that means that when you target your companion, you can see what his or her target is. And I have a key bind for switching to my companion as my target. So like I just tap my key and then my companion is my target. And I do that all the time because I'm like, tap the key, throw him a heal, hit tab to get back to the mob. But I also use it for tap the key, target my companion, and then I see what he's targeting. And then I click on that if I'm going to, and then I know I'm DPSing down the same mob that he is. Another thing I do, which is kind of a game within a game, because you don't really have to do this, but it's kind of a game to guess which one they are going to pick next. And they tend to go in the same order that tab targeting goes. So if your companion is out there killing mobs, their next target is going to be what your next target would be if you were standing in that same place and you hit tab. Well, you're not standing exactly where they are, but you kind of get the hang of it. You can say, okay, well, if I was standing there and I hit next, it would probably be that guy over there to the left. And you can kind of guess what it's going to be.
That's funny.
and this method of, you know, focus firing, this works perfectly well if you have a DPS companion too, because it's even more important with the DPS companion, because they are not going to hold threat on anything, because they don't have any threat. They don't have any abilities that all their threat is based just on DPS. They're not going to have any abilities that heighten their threat. They don't have any AOE threat generating things. They do have AOE attacks.
AIE threat.
AIE threat.
Yeah.
So So with a DPS companion, it's even more important. The second thing that you have to keep in mind with a DPS pet is, and I keep saying pet, but I mean companion. They are going to be squishier than your tank pet, so you might have to keep a little bit more eye on their health. In fact, you probably will. And towards the end of the pull, it's very likely that you're going to have mobs come after you too. So if you have a DPS pet, you're going to kill faster, and the pulls will go faster, but you have to heal more. You have to heal your companion more, and you have to heal yourself more. But it'll still work perfectly fine.
Cool.
And again, what's that?
I was just saying, cool. This is good information for me. I always level my heal capable classes as DPS because I always just thought it was easier. Although that has hamstrung me in getting to end game, and that I don't heal very often, and I'm not very good yet when I try to, because I haven't done that.
I feel exactly the same way about DPS. It's like I get to like level 55 and I haven't developed the talent for, you know, all this stuff for the DPS. So I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I wanted to touch on is I hear people complaining that their companion breaks CC. Your companion, they are better now about not breaking CC than probably any other human player that you'll ever play with, especially a tank, because tanks are just built to break CC. But what's happening if your companion is breaking your CC? Well, first let me talk about how to CC. When you're looking at a pull, you probably want to CC the mob that is one of two things. It's the farthest away, or it's the one that's going to be the longest to kill. So if you CC the one that takes the longest to kill and then kill all the ones that you can kill quickly, then they'll all be dead before the CC is up. So you want to CC the one that's hardest to kill. Your companion will avoid that mob that you've CC'd. They will not hit the mob that you CC'd. They're very good about that. But if they have AoE abilities, they can break CC with those. So all you have to do, if you have a complex pull in front of you and you're worried about that strong or that elite, you turn off the AoE capabilities of your companion. And all you have to do is look at them, the tooltip for them, and there's every tanking companion has one or two AoE abilities. Just turn them off for that pull. CC your elite and send him in at the same time. Kill the weaks, then kill the elite. Easy squeezy. Lemon.
Yep.
Easy.
Yeah.
Or whatever that expression is.
If I turn off those abilities, I've never had a companion break CC.
Yeah, they won't. Just remember to turn them back on again, because it goes a lot slower without them.
Right. Yeah, especially on groups. Well, cool. Well, this is very good information, and I should start leveling more. I do, and I'll just throw in, I have done some leveling as a healer in PvP, and that goes very well in terms of the other players in your war zone will be very happy that you're healing. But on the other hand, you'll also become a target in PvP, which can be a little frustrating, but you'll get the most MVP votes every time. So it's not a bad thing to do. And it gives you practice in very fast healing and split second decisions on triage as well.
That's very valuable, because healing is all about judgment calls, making decisions.
Okay. Well, this has been a great segment and hopefully has given some people a good intro into leveling up as a healer. And I'm going to try to do that. I think I may level a Sork, and maybe I'll try to do it as a healer.
Ah, oh, Kimval.
I have a Sork, but I have to save that one to level up with my daughter. So I may have to do a separate Sork if I actually want to play a Sork ever. Anyway, well, I think our EPC06 droid here is all filled up, and I think we are ready to go. Thanks for tuning in. For feedback, comments, or questions for future casts, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGray and at AIESEMA. Feel free to tweet at SEMA or send us some email to ask more about leveling up as a healer, or come play with us on Jedi Covenant. For AIE Guild information, you can visit aie-guild.org and submit an application, or find us on Facebook at AIE SWOTOR. Talk to you soon.
Bye.